The year was 1776. The summer was hot. 56 men gathered representing 13 colonies, and they gathered in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to discuss terms of separating the colonies from the ruling power of King George III. The Revolutionary War had been going on since 1775, and these men knew that they were risking their own lives, their homes, their property, everything that they'd worked for. And after some debate and discussion, Thomas Jefferson sat down and drafted words on a piece of paper, which still survive after 244 years. But those words changed the entire history. And these are the words that he wrote. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitled them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, which among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This piece of paper that inscribed upon and gave birth to a new nation is called the Declaration of Independence. And every year, except for this year, we celebrate that particular piece of paper with parades, picnics, fireworks, and people come together just to remember what life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is really all about. And no other country in this world can do that. No other country has such a celebration except for the United States of America. And these words so touched the hearts of mankind that even Abraham Lincoln, years later, wrote these words. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty, dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Today, these words are just as important as they were back then. Over 2,000 years ago, a young man in his 30s went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the tabernacle, and as was custom, he stood up and read. Now, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and these are the words that he read. And if you have your Bibles with you today, or if you have your electronic Bible with you, please turn to Luke chapter 4, verses 18 to 19. These verses are really some of my favorite verses. I've got a lot of verses in the Bible, but these are really super to me because I've even underlined them. And over the years, I've come back to it years after years after years because it really speaks to me what these words are all about. And so he stood up, and this is what he said. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 19. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord. And then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. What Jesus did that day was spoke the words of declaration of freedom to those that were in that synagogue, in that temple at that day. But not only to them only, but he was looking at 2,000 years ahead, looking at a group of people this morning, meeting at Indianola Heights Evangelical Free Church. Mankind has been given the opportunity to experience freedom, liberty from the powers of darkness that so imprison their lives. Written on the pages of this precious book. And I love this book. I hope every one of you have got a Bible, because it is full of powerful words. God has declared freedom to everyone that reads every word and believes it. You know, we should be rejoicing every day. We should get up every morning with excitement. We should feel like, you know what? Today is a wonderful day. Today the Lord has made. Let me rejoice and be glad in it. Today I'm free. But how many times do we get up in the morning and go, it's another day? You look at your wife, if you have one, and go, it's another day. And yet, we should be rejoicing. We should be excited. We should be thrilled that we are free because of Jesus Christ. What is freedom for a Christian? Well, Webster defines freedom as this: the quality of or state of being free, as liberation from slavery or restraint or from the power of another. As I look at this declaration that Jesus read, I see principles of freedom that we all should rejoice in and enjoy and hold on to. So let's take a look at what he's saying here in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 19. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. Now, what's Jesus really saying? Is he talking to people that are monetarily poor? I don't believe so. If you look at that verse, he does say, of those that are poor in money, that don't have any money, who are not rich. What I see here in that verse is that he is speaking to those who are spiritually poor. So what does that mean? How many times do you spend per week reading God's word? Once? Maybe twice a week? Do you spend every day reading a verse to hold on to through your entire day? Do you read that you have freedom through Jesus Christ? I love what Matthew writes when Jesus is speaking. He says, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. What's that saying to you? If I go to the Lord this morning and I ask for a good day, I'm not going to expect anything less than his best. Because why? Because I believe that he's going to give it to me. But Brother Brad, what if? God teaches a lot of things through those what ifs. But if I ask, it'll be given to me. If I seek, if I look for something special that God has for me. I've been teaching a Bible class at my care center that I'm at, because we can't allow any pastors in and the public has to stay out, which is kind of a bummer. But I have had such a great time with teaching these seniors about God's word. In fact, I had one come to me and she begged me, do you have any Bibles? Well, fortunately, my father knows somebody from the Gideons who I've got some Bibles to deliver tomorrow morning. And I'm excited about that. You see, there is something that somebody asked for, they sought, they're going to get, and they're thrilled. Why? Because they can take God's word and look at the promises of God's word. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. And then Jesus goes on to the next word. He says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? Peter writes these words, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Freedom. If you are carrying a burden, just give it to Jesus. Give it to the Lord. God's going to answer that prayer. God's going to take that burden from you, and he's going to deliver you. He is going to set you free from that burden. Why? Because he loves you. He cares about you. And I'm not talking about a name it, claim it time, a rich type of ministry. I am talking about giving it to the Lord, allowing to him to have it, and he will set you free. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Now, I don't believe any of you are going to jail after the service today. So how can this relate to you? I'm not a prisoner. When I go home after church today, I'm free. I get to go home and sit down to a good meal, and I get to go home, and if I want to watch football, I can watch football. I can do anything I want to do within respects of the law because I'm free. I'm not a prisoner. I love that course that Bill Gaither wrote. I am free from the fear of tomorrow. I am free from the guilt of the past. I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free. Praise the Lord, free at last. When I was a child growing up in church, we used to sing this old chorus. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. You know, these are some of these choruses they need to bring back. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. I'm singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Now think about those songs. After you get singing that song in church, you can go outside and get in your shower and start singing them in your shower because Jesus has set me free. There are a lot of people today that are prisoners because they are worried to death. And I can list pages and pages and pages of things that they are going to be worried about. And what does it do for them? It imprisons them from freedom, of enjoying life. How many of you wake up in the morning wondering if you've got a job tomorrow? If you're retired, how many of you worry that your retirement is going down the toilet? How many of you are worried that something's going to go wrong? Yeah, I'm not. Why? Because Jesus set me free. And if it does happen, I'm going to put it in the Lord's hands. Because I believe what the Word of God says. Cast all your cares upon him. For he, what? Cares for you. He is going to set you free. That is a declaration that he has made to each and every one of us, which includes a promise that it will happen. But there are people who also live in fear. You have worry and you have fear. They kind of work together, don't they? And for what? I could say what I'm thinking this morning, but I'm going to leave it on the table. But I will tell you one thing. There is nothing to fear but fear itself. Roosevelt once said that, and I love those words. There is nothing to fear but fear itself. You can be afraid that you're going to have a heart attack in a moment. You could live in the fear of dying tomorrow. I knew of a lady who spent all of her entire life afraid that she was going to die of cancer. She died of cancer. Her entire life was ruined. She could have enjoyed life. She could have gone and smelled the roses. But no, she was worried that she was going to die of cancer, and sure enough, she did. What an anticlimax of life. But see, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants us to be afraid. You know, I think of Joshua when Moses stepped aside and let Joshua take the leadership role. That had to be devastating. It had to be fearful. I mean, you've got thousands and thousands and thousands of people depending on you. And so Joshua did the only thing he could do. He got into his tent and he went to God in prayer. And this is what God told Joshua. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you, and do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Have you ever read the last chapter of Joshua? I would encourage you to do it. In fact, the entire book is fascinating. They take the promised land. They battle against their enemies. God gives them victories. But at the very end, Joshua gets old. And it's time for somebody else to take over the leadership role. And a decision has to be made. And that decision is this, and he gives it to the children of Israel. He says, you can either serve the God Jehovah, or you could serve the gods of this land that we've conquered. But I want you to know something. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you can say amen or oh me. But that's exactly what Joshua said. There is no question about it. If you want to be free and you don't want to be a prisoner, serve God. Declare that to this day, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The author of Hebrews wrote these precious words. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid what man can do to me. Wow, powerful. Because the author of Hebrews knew that if he put his trust in the Lord, he had nothing to fear, and no longer did he need to be a prisoner of fear. As I said, fear and worry work back and forth. Jesus once said, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, or your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? He also goes on to say, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then he goes on to say this, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Matthew 6:34. I love that verse. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know, like I said, we are living in a time of fear, being worried, being concerned. But I want you to know this morning, God wants you to be free. You do not have to be a prisoner. Another declaration of this writing is this, and recovery of sight to the blind. A lot of people today have become blinded by their needs to satisfy their own desires. Their eyes are on, how can I achieve my goals, wants, and desires? And because of their blindness, they're having a difficult time seeing what God wants to do for them. The psalmist wrote these words, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Isn't that beautiful? Open my eyes. Have you ever prayed, Lord, open my eyes? Open my spiritual eyes that I can see what you have in store for me. You'd be surprised at how rich you are through Jesus Christ our Lord. You'd be surprised at all that God has to offer you by allowing him to open your eyes. Michael W. Smith wrote this beautiful course. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, and open my eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. When you look at those beautiful words that Michael W. Smith wrote, and you begin to allow your eyes to be open to the Lord, you no longer see the problems of life. What you see is the glory of God. Oh, just to see the glory of God, to go into His presence, to behold Him, and the whole world is left outdoors. What a glorious sight. That's what we need to pray for. That's what we need to look for, is the glory of God. To be spiritually blinded, it is very difficult to enjoy life, liberty, and happiness that God gives. We need to open our eyes and open our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, to God above, to release the oppressed. Now, our early forefathers knew the meaning of oppression. If you ever read the history of King George III, he was not a nice guy. He had made it so difficult for the colonists back in that time. And we have situations today that can cause oppression. But oppression, I want you to know, leads to depression. Got that? Oppression leads to depression. And at times, depression can lead to death. But a child of God does not need to feel oppressed. John 16:33 says, I have told you, and these are the words of Jesus, I have told you these things, that in me you may have peace, but in the world you'll have oppression. But cheer up, I have overcome the world. Think about that this morning. We are overcomers because of Jesus Christ. We do not need to be oppressed. We can be full of joy, unspeakable and full of glory. He's promised it to us. He's made the declaration to us. And we are to enjoy life because we are overcomers. I was talking to somebody the other day. It's been really a challenge for them because we've had to keep people indoors. We on a nice day, we'll sneak them out into the courtyard, excuse me, but we've not been able to allow them to have a lot of close contact with families. And they were just kind of impressed. And I said, you know, my dear, I said, I know right now this is only temporary. God's going to work everything out. He's a promise keeper. And things are going to change. But I said, you know what? There's going to be a day coming when all of this is going to be behind us. Because I've read the back of the book, and we win. Do you know that? I read the back of the book, and we win. Romans 8:37 says this, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Through Jesus Christ, we are conquerors. We're victorious. We are overcomers. And we need not to be oppressed. We have a declaration of independence that has been promised to us each and every day. Jesus wrote these words, excuse me, He said to the Jews, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. And then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, but we are Abraham's descendants. We have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be free? And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if a son sets you free, you are free indeed. You know, if we believe that Jesus and follow after what he teaches us, we are free. The Bible tells me that we're sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, of God the Father. We're joint heirs with Jesus. We're free. So I want to leave you with this question this morning. I really do. What is freedom for a child of God? My answer is, freedom is Jesus Christ and his word. Are you experiencing the freedom today? I know that we have been through a struggle this year like we've never experienced in our life. But that's not what I'm asking you. Are you experiencing freedom? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Do you know that each and every day he's with you? He's walking with you. He's talking with you through his word. Do you know, without a shadow of a doubt, that you have freedom, that you're not a prisoner, that you're not under control by sin, by Satan, but you're free? If not, before you leave this place today, this beautiful church, just ask Jesus Christ into your heart. He will set you free. He will deliver you. And you will be free indeed. Let's bow our heads this morning. Heavenly Father and gracious Lord, thank you for the freedom that you give to us. Thank you for delivering us each and every day of our lives. Thank you that we've got your word that we can depend upon, the promises that you've made, and we can hold on to. We are free because of you, O Lord God Almighty. And Father, if there is one person here this morning who is struggling with worrying, with fear, with numerous things, this morning, Father, I just pray that you would set them free and deliver them in the name of Jesus, that they can enjoy the freedom of knowing you and knowing your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless us now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.